gather together this morning on the first Sunday of a new year, 2020, and it's hard to believe. As we gather together, thanking God for his faithfulness in the past year and bringing us together into a new one. And we don't know what kind of challenges lie ahead of us. We don't know what we may face in this year before us. But we know that we go through it every day with God. And we know that we go through it with his direction and with his presence leading the way, because the Alpha and the Omega, our Lord, has already been there for us. But as we come to a new year, it's always a time for people to make resolutions and to reflect. A lot of people make resolutions at the beginning of a new year to lose the weight, you know, to go on a diet. And after 2 or 3 days, maybe they start out good, and then the diet seems to fall by the wayside. We are now, what, January 5th? So by now, probably half of the New Year's resolutions that have been made have been broken by now. But at New Year's, it's time to remember and to evaluate. Oftentimes, people make goals. And they say, in this new year, this is what I want to achieve or want to accomplish. And looking over the past and making that time of assessment and taking inventory spiritually in a lot of other ways. That's why we like to begin New Year's every year, our first Sunday, with celebrating the Lord's table. Because the Lord's table is a time for us again to put everything back in perspective. It's a time for us again to evaluate ourselves, where we are with the Lord. It's a time to put our focus back where it needs to be. Because sometimes in the distractions of life, we had just come through Christmas. In the midst of all, we celebrate. But sometimes in the midst of all the distractions, we can lose our focus. And putting our focus back on the cross and on Jesus, who died there for us, keeps everything where it needs to be. And as we go into a new year, reminding us, looking back for God's gratefulness, but going into the new year with the commitment of greater service to him. The Lord's table calls us to take that assessment. It calls us to remember, to reflect, and also to look forward. Because his table is a table for all time. It's a table that calls us back, remembering what Jesus did for us. Because as we do this, he tells us to do it in remembrance of him. But it also calls us to look inwardly, personally, at where we are with Jesus now in our relationship with him. And are we where we need to be? Are we right in that relationship with him? Because we can't come to the Lord's table, he said, if we're not right with him and others. But it also calls us to look forward to the day that we will be together with him and the future that he is preparing. As Luke records for us the events of the Lord's table, I want to focus on verse 20. Because as we enter in a new year, we celebrate the fact that there's a day coming that all things will be made new, and it's because of the Lord's table. Verse 20 says that as Jesus took the bread and gave thanks, he said, I do this in remembrance of you. But then he said, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And as he took the cup, he gave it to his disciples and ultimately to us, and said that this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The new covenant. That through the Lord's table that he instituted, all things were made new. That more than happened when Jesus instituted this for us and gave it to us to remember, so much happened that night that as Jesus was ready to give himself on the cross for you and for me, that something new happened. Everything was different than from what happened before. And all things were made new because of what we remember and celebrate this morning. And that's what we want to focus in on this morning. That the new covenant, all that has been made new for what Jesus has done for us. That as we come to his table and as we celebrate, we can truly celebrate with the newness of life that we have received through Jesus himself. So as we come to the Lord's table in a few minutes, we're going to come to celebrate the fact that all things have been made new through what Jesus has done for us, through his death on the cross, through his blood shed, through his resurrection. We have a new start. And as we come to the new year, it's a time, as I said, for many to make those new resolutions, to have a new start. But the Lord's table brings us that new start. As we see in verse 19, In verse 19, it says that he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That Jesus says he took the bread and broke it. He said, "This is a remembrance, a reminder to remind you that my body was broken on the cross, that I paid the price to give you and me, all of us, a new start." Meaning that because of the blood, because of Jesus' death on the cross and what he did there, our past is gone. And as we come to this new year and go into a new year, we enter it with not knowing what's ahead of us. You take a calendar, and probably most of the events of our calendar of this year are blank. We don't have the pages filled in yet. And that's how, because God has given us that new start of a new year. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He's taken the past away. He's taken all the sin, all the failures, all the heartache, all the brokenness. He's buried it with his, paid for it with his blood, buried it and put it under the cross, and it's gone. Isn't that something to celebrate? So as we come to his table, come rejoicing in the new start that we have. That the past is gone. It's been buried. That his blood paid the price. He was a sufficient sacrifice. It was enough. His grace was enough for you and me. His blood paid the debt that you and I had against God that we could not have paid. The debts that we had from our sin that were so great that we never could have paid. Jesus paid for us. And through his blood, it has all been wiped clean. We come before him forgiven. Thank the Lord, and that's what we celebrate at his table, that our God is a God of grace. Yes, he's holy, but he's a God of grace. That he forgives us once, not only once, but twice as many times as we need. And it reminds us of that new start that we have through Jesus. So if you failed him, if you feel you let the Lord down, come to his table knowing that through his blood, he has forgiven us. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, Paul says, "I forget whatever is behind me, I forget. And my purpose now is to strain toward what is ahead and to run the race that God's called me through, keeping my eyes focused on Christ and seeking to become more like him, and to letting go of the failures of the past." And Satan likes to keep us in guilt. Satan likes to remind us of the many times that we failed and the many times that we sinned or the many times that we let others down or the words that we said in anger or how that we didn't forgive somebody or we let a word go in anger and we regret it. And he likes to let us feel that guilt. But this Lord's table shows us that it's been put under the blood, it's forgiven, and it's gone. And the Lord buries our sins in the deepest sea and remembers them no more. We have a fresh start. We have a new start. All things have been made new because of what Jesus did for us. The blood of the covenant, the body broken for us, that has made everything new. Not only do we have a new start, but we also have a new relationship. That because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, what we remember through the bread and the cup this morning as we celebrate, a new relationship has been possible for us. A way that makes us have a way that we can have a personal relationship with God. Notice in verse 20 again, our key verse we're focusing in on, that this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. That Jesus, as he gave that cup to his disciples and said, "This is now a new covenant." A covenant means agreement. That word covenant means agreement. And in the Bible, we have two testaments, old and new. Another word for covenant is testament. It's saying in the Old Testament, God related to us this way. But in the New Testament, God relates to us this way. In the Old Testament, God related to us through law. And that God had given the law. And that you had to live by the law. And if you didn't keep the standards of the law, the consequences were pretty severe. And it was through that keeping of the law that you could maybe try to find a relationship with God, but no one could achieve it. That's why God established a new way through Jesus, the covenant of grace. That now we are under the covenant of grace. This is the new way we relate to God. That doesn't mean because we're under grace that we let the law go. We still follow the teaching of the Scripture. We still live in a way to please Him, but now we relate, God relates to us through grace. Aren't you thankful for that? When you stand before God, would you rather stand before Him being related with law or grace? It's His grace because of the new way He has instituted through Jesus. That new relationship, He relates to us in that way of grace, through law, grace, not law, and faith, not works. Because, see, through the law, people tried to think that they could get in a right relationship by what they did. And I was caught up in that. I used to share with you how I was caught up in that. I was raised and taught in a way, and I grew up in a church and was taught by my family and parents that you had to do all these good things to be in a right relationship with God. And if you didn't, you'd step out of line, God would zap you. And you can get into that trapping of thinking that by what we do, we earn favor with God. And it's not that granted that way, is it? It's by faith alone. We're saved by faith alone, and that's what Jesus has done. That's the new way. A new relationship. We relate to God through faith, not works. Through grace, not law. It's the new covenant. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, and hear what Jeremiah the prophet, God said through Jeremiah. And you'll find Jeremiah after Isaiah, before Ezekiel, Daniel. Chapter 31, beginning at verse 31. And following. The scripture says, "A time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." A new covenant, a new agreement, a new way I'm going to relate to you. "With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with your forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a brother, man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That's the covenant of God's grace. It's instituted to us through Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friend." And His relationship with us now is that we can be a friend of God through faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. So come to the Lord's table this morning celebrating the fact that all things have been made new. We have a new start through what He's done, and we have a new relationship with Him. God relates to us in a new way, that of grace. But we also come knowing, celebrating that we have a new calling. In verses 14 through 15, it says that when the hour came, Jesus and His apostles reclined at the table, and He said to them, "I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until the fruit of the vine." But He said, "I want to eat this with you. I earnestly desire to share this with you." And the new calling was that the Lord brought His disciples together and said, "I want to share this meal with you as my friends." And then in John chapter 13, we read that as the meal was being served, as they were having the meal together, Jesus took off His outer garment and He began to go around and wash the feet of each of the disciples, showing that new calling that He was calling them to, and that was that of service, of love. In John chapter 13, it said He demonstrated the greatness of that love by laying His life down for us. And that new calling that the Lord's table reminds us to, that as a follower of Christ, we are called to serve and to love one another. We are called to put others before ourselves, to think of others first, not us. And that should be, and that is to be our new calling. That's the new commandment that He gives us. In John chapter 13, he says this. Verse 34, he says, "A new command I give you, to love each other. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So the Lord was serving the meal. He gave the example by taking off his outer garments and going around the feet and washing the feet of each of his disciples around that table, setting for them an example, and said, "I've given you the example that you should do as I've done." This is the new calling that the Lord's table demonstrates for us. But did the disciples get it? Look with me back in chapter 22, verse 24. As Jesus gives them the new calling, calling them to serving others before themselves, following his example, verse 24 says that a dispute arose among them as to what? What's it say? Who was to consider to be the greatest among them? And Jesus said, "The kings of the lords, of the Gentiles, lorded over them, and those who exercise authority call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one at the table. But I am among you as one who serves. And though you who are those who have stood by me my trials, and I now confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table and sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel." They didn't get it. He said the Lord's table reminds us that we have a new calling, and that's to serve others before ourselves, to love our Lord, to love others before we love ourselves. Love others greater than we love ourselves, as Jesus gave the example for us. So a new calling. Come together to the Lord's table, remembering and celebrating the fact that God's called us to serve others first. And we have, as we come together in all things being made new, we have a new day. And the Lord's table reminds us that there is a new day as well. And as we gather together on this first Sunday of the new year, thanking the Lord for that, the Lord's table promises us of a new day coming. As we look back again in chapter 22, verse 15, it said, "He said to them, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Begin, went on to say in verse 16, "For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then in verse 17, he says, "Take this and divide it among you, for I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So the Lord's table reminding us as well that we have a new day, the dawning of a new hope, that someday we will sit down with the Lord in his presence and his table in heaven, and we will be around his table rejoicing in his presence, that all the old will be gone. Revelation chapter 21 tells us that all things will be made new and all things will pass away. So come celebrating that hope that Jesus brings us. So as we come this morning, come to his Lord's table prepared, celebrating all things made new, a new start, a new calling, a new relationship, and the promise of a new day. As is our custom on Communion Sundays, we pause for a prayer of confession and consecration, preparing ourselves to meet our Lord at his table in the celebration of communion. And I'm going to kneel in prayer. You can kneel where you are if you would like, or you can remain seated. Let's join together in a prayer as we prepare ourselves. You can either kneel or remain seated. Let's pray. As you're kneeling or seated before the Lord, take this moment to prepare your heart to meet with the Lord. Is everything right between you and God? Take that spiritual inventory. Because the Lord says we need to examine ourselves before we can come to his table and receive of him. If there's something you need to confess, take this time to do that. Our fathers, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to gather around your table. We thank you for a new day and the promise of a new hope that you've given us through Jesus Christ, the new way that you relate to us through your grace bestowed upon us through Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that way that you provided on the cross, that we can be forgiven, that we can have that new start, that our sins can be washed away, and we can be made right before you and right standing before you, not because of what we do, but because of what you've done for us through Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for the bread, a visible reminder of your body broken for us. We consecrate it to you now, this morning, as we prepare to partake. Lord, may it remind us again of the greatness of the sacrifice and of your love that you've shown to us, Jesus, by dying on the cross for us. We thank you for the cup, a visible reminder of your blood that was shed to pay the price for our sin, that our sin could be forgiven us and we could be made clean and brought before you. We consecrate the cup to you, thanking you, Lord, for the redemption that we have through Jesus. Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you, coming to your table, thanking you that you give us that new start, that new relationship with you, that we come through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that calling, Lord, of serving others and loving others before ourselves, and the hope of the new day that someday we will be in your presence where all heartache, all sickness, all sorrow will be ended, and we will sit down with your table forever in your presence, rejoicing with you and our loved ones who are already there. So, Lord, we confess our sin to you, thanking you for the blood that forgives us. Prepare our heart to receive from you now, and we consecrate ourselves to you again as your disciples, and as you died for us, so we live for you. Prepare us, Lord, to come to your table and receive you by faith this morning. Draw us close to you as we feast by faith in remembrance and celebration of all things being made new through Jesus our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.